What if the solution to accelerating cancer research, managing a $35 trillion national debt, and rendering the next massive multiplayer shooter all shared the exact same underlying mathematical secret?
It sounds wild, right? But it's all connected.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we are looking at a highly revealing stack of sources for you from the August 24, 2026 Tikkun Knight intelligence briefing. And the core theme, just staring us in the face across all these different sectors of the global economy, is that brute force is officially a relic of the past.
Yeah, we are looking at a massive structural rejection of bloat. I mean, for the last decade, technology and finance just operated on this very simple, very expensive premise, which was, throw more compute, more capital, more friction at a problem until you overwhelm it.
Right, just brute force it.
Exactly. But what this briefing documents is a sudden aggressive pivot. It's a pivot toward mathematical elegance, systemic efficiency, and honestly, consumer fairness.
It totally changes the paradigm. So, in this deep dive, we're going to explore how a tiny AI just completely humiliated the trillion parameter tech giants. We'll trace how European carbon taxes actually accidentally triggered a cryptocurrency heating revolution in Siberia.
That part is fascinating.
Oh, it's crazy. And then we'll look at how the $200 billion video game industry is fundamentally rewriting its own technical and economic rules to survive.
The convergence of all these shifts happening in a single briefing is pretty remarkable. Like, just the AI benchmark results alone completely redefine our understanding of computational scaling laws.
Let's start right there, actually, with this whole AI David versus Goliath scenario, because the numbers in the briefing are just wild.
Right.
So the briefing breaks down the latest results of the Replica Scientific Benchmark.
Right, which is incredibly hard.
Yeah, it's a rigorous evaluation covering super complex formal tasks. We're talking quantum thermodynamics, macromolecular pharmaceutical synthesis, orbital mechanics.
Not your standard chatbot stuff.
Definitely not. And taking first place on the global leaderboard with an 87.4% accuracy score is this autonomous agent called Faraday, developed by an independent lab called Inherent AI.
And, the shockwave here isn't even really the score itself. It's the physical footprint.
Right.
The Faraday agent operates on just 27 billion active parameters. And look at the absolute behemoths it beat to get that top spot. In second place, you have Anthropic's Claude 3.7 Opus at 81.2%.
Why?
And then OpenAI's GPT-5.5 reasoning is in third at 79.6%. Both of those are these massive, multi-trillion parameter mixture of experts clusters. I mean, they require megawatt scale enterprise data centers just to turn the things on.
Okay, let's unpack this because for the listener trying to wrap their head around this with the massive multi-trillion parameter models, we know they're basically routing queries through specialized subnetworks,
Yeah,
right?
essentially brute forcing statistical probability based on all their training data.
Right. So it's a bit like a student trying to pass an advanced physics exam by frantically flipping through millions of flashcards, just hoping they've memorized the pattern before.
That's a great analogy.
But Faraday is taking a completely different mechanical approach. It's actually pulling out a scratch pad and like doing the formal math.
What's fascinating here is the why behind it. It utilizes what Inherent calls a recursive hypothesis simulation correction loop.
Okay, that's a mouthful.
Yeah, I know, but instead of relying on just guessing the next statistical token, Faraday intercepts a natural language scientific query and translates it directly into formal symbolic equations.
Wow.
And then it executes those equations within an embedded closed loop physics sandbox.
So it is actively running a localized simulation to just grade its own math in real time.
Exactly. It validates its intermediate outputs against actual laws of conservation and thermodynamics before it ever hands an answer back to the user. From a formal verification standpoint, Faraday is integrated directly with automated theorem provers.
Like Lean 4 and Coke, right? The briefing mentioned those.
Yeah, Lean 4 and Coke. Which means every single chemical derivation step, it outputs functions as a mathematically verifiable proof.
So that completely eradicates the concept of an AI hallucination.
Totally. I mean, when you are tasking an AI with complex macromolecular protein folding, there's zero margin for error. You can't just guess. By demanding a formal mathematical proof for every single step, Faraday ensures the output actually works in the real physical world.
Which brings up that concept of computational sovereignty mentioned in the source material. Because Faraday bypasses the need for that massive architecture, you don't need a billion-dollar data center to run frontier research anymore.
Not at all.
The briefing notes Faraday runs locally on just a standard workstation with four discrete GPUs. That's consumer-grade stuff.
And independent labs are already all over this. The briefing details how independent researchers just used Faraday to autonomously generate 14 novel enzyme sequences.
The plastic-eating ones, right.
Yeah.
Engineered to accelerate the breakdown of marine microplastics. Faraday audited these sequences for thermodynamic stability with so much precision, it compressed what is usually a multi-year drug discovery timeline into just a few days.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And as Dr. Arian Romanian from Inherent points out in the text, true artificial intelligence is just no longer being measured by trillion parameter compute bloat. It's measured by its capacity to interrogate its own hypotheses against unyielding math.
The era of just building bigger server farms to get smarter is over.
Yeah.
Efficiency is completely outperforming raw scale.
And actually, speaking of megawatt scale compute, that's the perfect transition to the next part of the briefing. Because what happens when brute force energy consumption literally collides with strict government regulations?
Right. The infrastructure doesn't just vanish, it moves.
Exactly. A joint study by Cambridge and the Oxford Energy Institute tracks this exact phenomenon in the global Bitcoin mining network. So the European Union recently implemented their carbon border adjustment mechanism, the CBAM carbon taxes.
Yeah, these are very strict industrial emissions tariffs.
And it triggered an immediate massive exodus of compute power. The data shows over 35% of the cumulative European mining hash rate migrated straight to the Russian Federation, mostly into these Siberian industrial corridors.
The economics driving it are just staggering. In Central Europe, under these new carbon tariffs, the cost to mine a single Bitcoin skyrocketed to over $98,000.
Which is just a death spiral for any operator.
Exactly. They had to shut down. But over in Siberia, they are tapping into these colossal hydroelectric basins along the Angara and Yenisei rivers, plus a ton of stranded oil field flare gas. The production cost over there is just $32,400 per Bitcoin.
Driving their electricity costs down to what, like 1.2 cents per kilowatt hour?
Yeah, exactly. It is a textbook empirical demonstration of what Dr. Alexander Novikov calls thermodynamic water. Computational networks invariably slow toward the cheapest, most stranded energy sources on Earth.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting, though, at least for me. Because if we trace the actual physical mechanics of what's happening on the ground in Siberia with that stranded flare gas, wait, didn't the European carbon taxes effectively just force a much greener outcome, just, you know, entirely outside of the EU's borders?
Well, the thermodynamic synergy occurring at these sites absolutely supports that, yeah.
Mm.
Because remote petrochemical operations often don't have the pipelines to transport excess gas, they normally just vent millions of tons of uncombusted methane directly into the atmosphere.
And methane is an incredibly potent greenhouse gas.
Exactly. So by co-locating these containerized data centers right at the wellheads, miners are combusting that wasted methane to power their servers. They're literally converting an environmental liability into cryptographic security.
And it drastically reduces the net greenhouse effect. But the efficiency goes even further. The briefing notes these Siberian operations are using server immersion tanks, right?
Yes.
And they are capturing the high-temperature liquid coolant runoff and piping it directly into municipal district heating systems.
Yeah, providing free heat for residential subarctic communities and local agricultural greenhouses. They are eliminating fossil fuel waste emissions while simultaneously subsidizing essential civil infrastructure.
So the unilateral regulations inadvertently accelerated the capital flight, and the network simply routed around the friction to find the most efficient stranded energy on the planet.
And this unstoppable flow of cryptographic networks isn't just reshaping physical energy grids either. It has officially hardwired itself directly into the highest levels of the U.S. federal banking infrastructure.
Right. The Circle news. Circle, the issuer of the USDC stablecoin, was just granted preliminary authorization from the OCC, the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, to establish a federal trust bank.
Which formally integrates a stablecoin issuer with Federal Reserve clearing systems for the very first time.
And to put the macroeconomic stakes into perspective for you, the U.S. national debt currently sits at $35 trillion. And it's compounding at a rate of $1 trillion every 100 days.
Just massive numbers.
At the exact same time, the historical buyers of that debt are stepping back. The briefing notes East Asian central banks, like China and Japan, just dumped over $29 billion in U.S. sovereign debt holdings.
But mostly to defend their own domestic currencies, yeah.
But this creates a massive structural liquidity vacuum for U.S. treasuries. And regulated stablecoins like USDC and Tether have just quietly stepped in to fill it.
They are currently holding over $154 billion in short-term U.S. Treasury bills to back their digital dollars. That's a 28% year-over-year growth in treasury acquisitions.
So basically, as traditional superpower buyers are aggressively walking out the front door, the crypto market is quietly sneaking in the back door to buy up the national debt.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the U.S. government is recognizing stablecoins not as some fringe digital asset anymore, but as structurally vital geopolitical instruments.
Right.
When a stablecoin issues digital dollars on a blockchain, it requires collateral to maintain its one-to-one peg. By strictly using U.S. Treasury bills as that collateral, stablecoins artificially generate a massive, constant global demand for U.S. sovereign debt.
Wow.
Circle securing that federal OCC charter means the government has basically embraced this dynamic to reinforce global dollar hegemony.
And enterprise treasuries actually need these digital dollars for liquidity, too. The intelligence briefing highlights that 85% of institutional USDC transaction volume is for massive B2B cross-border institutional settlements.
Right. They aren't treating volatile crypto assets. They are using regulated digital dollars to settle multi-billion dollar transactions instantly on verifiable ledgers. We're watching the opaque legacy banking system get replaced by mathematically verifiable infrastructure.
There is such a fascinating parallel emerging here. Global finance is demanding verifiable ledgers. AI researchers are demanding verifiable math. And if we pivot to the Gamescom 2026 data in this briefing, the $200 billion gaming industry is demanding verifiable virtual physics.
Players are totally rejecting artificial smoke and mirrors.
The technical evolution showcased at Opening Night Live marks a complete structural overhaul of how virtual worlds are built. The whole lineup was heavy on this. Microsoft showed live gameplay for Gears of War. E-Day on Unreal Engine 5.6.
Yeah, using procedural skeletal fracture meshes.
Right. So instead of playing a pre-canned static animation when an enemy takes damage, the engine calculates the physical impact forces in real time. No two combat impacts ever animate the exact same way. But the real standout for me was Embark Studios.
Their technical test for Arc Raiders perfectly mirrors the efficiency trends we saw in the AI and crypto sectors. They are running a 64-tick cloud infrastructure with sub-15 millisecond server accuracy.
Which is incredibly fast.
But crucially, they are executing all structural destruction calculations. Explosive blast radii architectural collapses entirely on the server side.
Let's unpack why that matters for a second. In standard multiplayer games, your local PC or console does a lot of the physics guessing to save bandwidth. It fakes the math.
Which causes major desync issues. I see a wall standing, but you see it destroyed.
Exactly. And it creates massive vulnerabilities for cheating. But by moving the physics simulation completely to the cloud, Embark eradicates competitive cheating natively. The server calculates the absolute math and broadcasts the definitive state to everyone simultaneously.
It is an absolute mathematical state.
And they are pairing that with real-time acoustic ray tracing. This isn't just directional audio. The engine simulates sound waves physically bouncing off materials. You can hear the mechanical joint wear of an enemy mech echoing through complex industrial wreckage.
It forces a level of genuine tactical depth that standard battle royals just can't touch. When you remove client-side simulation tricks and replace them with authentic physics, players have to dynamically adapt.
Yeah, like when a physics-based collapse literally blocks their extraction route.
Right. Embark's CEO, Patrick Söderlund, said their mission is to build a living, volatile ecosystem. The player base is demanding systemic authenticity.
But, you know, systemic authenticity in physics doesn't mean much if players feel financially exploited or locked out from their communities. And this demand for authenticity is spilling directly into video game economics.
This was covered in GameSpot's Cheap Week feature in the briefing. The transition to the $70 standard software pricing created a massive barrier for co-op titles. The market telemetry shows a 68% drop-off rate for games that require two full purchases just to play with a friend.
Which makes sense. Asking two friends to drop $140 to experience a campaign together is a huge point of friction.
It's a non-starter.
But the market response has been this Friends Pass framework. Hazelight started it with It Takes Two, and now it's the core architecture for new titles like Split Fiction and Reanimal. Basically, buying one copy lets you invite a partner to play the whole game for free.
And the briefing notes this results in a staggering 2.4x net increase in launch window unit sales.
Wait, from a basic math standpoint, how does giving away half of your product access for free result in a 340% increase in day one purchase intent?
This raises an important question, right? It leverages what behavioral economists call the viral network multiplier. When you remove the paywall between friends, the primary buyer instantly transforms into a highly motivated brand advocate.
Oh, because they're basically recruiting for you.
Exactly. But the true revenue mechanism is the shift in consumer psychology. When players experience a high-quality game with a trusted partner without feeling financially extorted upfront, consumer regret just plummets.
So they monetize on the back end through goodwill, because the data shows players in these friends pass frameworks have a 300% higher propensity to buy cosmetic microtransactions later on.
The friction is removed. Joseph Fares from Hazelight noted that removing the paywall between friends isn't just generous, it's honestly the most effective marketing strategy possible. Studios that prioritize social bonds over extractive upfront monetization are being massively rewarded.
So, what does this all mean? If we step back and synthesize everything we've unpacked today from this August 2026 briefing, a really clear picture emerges. Whether it's a 27 billion parameter AI prioritizing formal math over bloat,
or stable coins creating hyper-efficient liquidity for the government,
or game studios realizing that treating players fairly is highly profitable,
we are witnessing the definitive end of the brute force era. Across artificial intelligence, global energy, finance, and gaming, structural efficiency and consumer dignity are the ultimate competitive moats.
It completely rewrites the playbook. But before you wrap up today, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, something that connects these dots in a slightly different way.
Okay, I'm curious.
Well, we just talked about how the Faraday AI proved we can perfectly simulate complex molecular physics inside an embedded sandbox, right?
Right.
And at the same time, video games like Arc Raiders are building flawless server-side physical destruction environments. How long before these two technologies just seamlessly merge?
Oh, wow.
Will the video games of 2030 not just simulate reality for our entertainment, but secretly use their embedded AI engines to crowdsource and solve real-world thermodynamic equations while we play them?
That is a wild thought.
Right. Could your next co-op gaming session be quietly optimizing a global energy grid or curing a disease in the background? It is something to think about the next time you boot up a game or ask an AI a complex question. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the data around you, and we will catch you next time.